Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Couple big Phillies notes to pass along. Guess who's going to be on the afternoon show today, Hugh, at 3 o'clock?
Who you got?
Dave Dombrowski.
Okay.
We haven't heard from Dave since spring training, I think, in terms of like a long-form thing.
Does he think the Eagles trust Jalen Hurts?
That should be the first question.
You should ask.
Dave, I know you got a big stuff going on next month, but first, your take on Hurts and does the coaching staff really trust him?
And he'd be like, what the deuce?
What are you guys talking about? So Dave Dombrowski, afternoon show today. That will be a must listen, 3 o'clock. He will be live with the afternoon show. Also, next Friday, I'm hearing rumors, a Red October rally before game one. I don't have all the details yet, okay. But there's certainly rumors out there. We will be having a big station-wide rally next Friday before Game 1 of the NLDS, which is next Saturday. Not sure what time the Phillies are going to play. I'm guessing it's going to be 4 o'clock or the night game.
Okay.
Saturday, yeah. October 4th, against probably the Dodgers. I still think it's going to be the Dodgers, but could be the Mets, could be the Reds, could be the Diamondbacks. We shall see. All right. Before we go back to the phone lines here, can we hear from A.J. Brown? Locker room yesterday asked about, you know, the thought out there that the Bucs have kind of owned the Eagles and been a thorn in their side and have really owned this matchup for years. Is it fair to say that? Here is A.J. Brown.
There's a media narrative, both locally and nationally, and I think I know what you'll say to this, that the Bucs are the one team that has your guys' numbers, the one team that's had a little bit of success for a prolonged period of time. What do you make of that?
I think that's just kind of fair, you know. What's the record?
Like, so I know
1-4.
Yeah, 1-4. Nick is 1-4 against them.
Yeah, so I think they have the edge, but it's a new year. It's a new game. Obviously, you can't take old games into a new one or old motivation.
Right.
You know, it's a new season, so we have a job to do, and we're gonna try to go out there and do it to our best ability.
Kind of interesting he didn't shoot it down. I mean, he did say it's a new year, so he was I took it as like we can't really care about it, but he didn't say no. He's like, yeah.
Well, if you look at it, the last time we played him, he wasn't out there. He wasn't out there when in the playoffs when we went down there and got trounced.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not a whole lot that he can really say in that situation. You know, you could shoot it down, but the truth is that the last couple times we've seen him, it's been pretty lopsided.
That's kind of my thing. Like, they didn't ask him, does it matter?
Right.
Because, you know, he would say new season, new, like, right. that's a different conversation.
Yeah, they asked him more like the idea of this.
Also, it's not a media narrative that the Bucs have had their number. Sirianni's 1-4 against the Bucs.
Yeah, I think
there's an objective truth that the Eagles have
not. Yeah, you can't. That's just like,
collectively, okay. we need to rethink how we use the word narrative.
Media narrative.
It's not, narratives aren't like, people are saying something, it's a narrative.
It's a fact. It kind of happened.
Right, the Bucs have won 4 out of 5 against the Eagles. There's no narrative there.
Is it a media narrative that the Eagles beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl?
No, that's... Okay. Now, the narrative is that the score was 40-22.
Yeah, now that's
because it was 40-6. Yeah. So that's where the score was. Yep. Enough. Those are the narratives there. All right, let's go to Joe and Langhorne. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Joe. What's up?
Not much. First time, long time. Real quick, I just want to say I became an Eagles fan in '98 when I was old enough and all was going on. So it's an honor to talk to you, Hugh.
Hey, man. Thank you.
I wanted to get that out of the way. Appreciate all your hard work for the city. So I respectfully disagree that it's a mistrust in Hurts. I feel like it's more of just trying to duplicate success from last year problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jalen threw for under 200 yards in 8 games last year. They were 6-2 in them games. He threw for under 150 yards in 5 games last year. They won all 5 of those games. Granted, the one game was against the Rams in the snow, but, I mean, still, 2 of them games were playoff games where he threw for under 150 yards. And I know Saquon went off last year, but, I mean, when you have a guy like Saquon, he's one play away from hitting a 60-yard run for a touchdown. You know what I mean? It just hasn't happened yet this year.
So it hasn't. Joe, I think you could be right. It could be more of that than what I've surmised and maybe Donovan McNabb is surmising. I guess I would ask the question, how much longer does it have to be like this before they flip it, though? Because, like, last year, you made total sense. They were dominant in the run game, and they had a great defense. Like, the formula made logical sense. So far this year, their defense hasn't been as great, right? And they're not running the ball as great. So you would think they'd throw the ball more to kind of counteract these things, but they're still not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I can agree to a sense that, like, so a game like last week, maybe it should have happened a little sooner than the second half. But, I mean, it did happen. Like, they did change it up. They had to. And I think they're going to, when just like last year, when they needed to throw the ball, they did. They won the games. Like, we didn't have this discussion last year when he had them games where he threw for all them not that many yards, again, because of Saquon. But I feel like this year, when they have to throw the ball, they're going to. I don't think it's a mistrust issue. Like, if you're not trusting him, you're going to bench him. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to have times where he's going to throw the ball. I really think this week is going to be like a KC game that happened a couple weeks ago. Like, you know, Todd, he loves to stack the box. He's going to bring a ton of pressure on Jalen. It's going to be them type of plays where they got to do something through the air. One-on-one battles, this is where I think AJ and Devontae are going to have to shine. They're going to have to get them one-on-one plays, the curls, whatever, the slants, the go routes. We're going to see a lot of it this week. I really believe that.
I think, you could be right on that. And they're going to have to, when they get the chances, that Joe appreciate, because there's going to be a lot of blitzes.
Thank you for the adult conversation.
Joe, I like the adult conversation.
Yeah, it's a little different. It's not what we're used to, but we got a couple of them, so it's pretty cool.
Isn't
that a lot more refreshing than people living their truth?
Well, Joe kind of lived his truth. I didn't agree with what he was saying, but it's still kind of the same thing. It just gets a little ridiculous when, you know, it begins.
How did we get the wires crossed with that? That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about...
I mean, it kind of is living your truth.
No, you know what? You got it, buddy. Live your truth.
Like how you just dismissed me.
I'd say 3 times a week, Kyle gets so exasperated. You got it, buddy. Whatever you want to believe, you believe
bless
it.
Bless your heart.
Yeah. Just, your heart. Whatever you think. We'll just move on.
Yep. I mean, honestly, you should be proud. Like, it's an accomplishment to get me to just to give up.
I am proud. I am proud every day. That I think. You know what I think broke you? The Spencer Rattler one. I think that broke Kyle.
Oh, it broke us all, man. It broke us all.
I mean, you might as well have taken a dagger to my stomach.
He has never won a start in the pros. Zero.
I saw the QBR, and I was like, "Ooh!"
Yeah, and in that moment, in that moment, I threw QBR out as a stat we should use.
No,
out.
Now of all the times where you can accuse me of having an agenda, I definitely
know. We know, buddy.
Yeah, we heard that. Tell us. The only problem are the people who were like, you know, Hugh's right, by the way. Yeah. And I'm like, he's... Mm.
You know, someone listening was texting their buddy like, you know what? I think Rattler's better than you think. I heard Hugh Douglas WIP.
Somebody picked him up in fantasy this week.
And they're going to call you next week and say, you led me down the wrong path. It's man.
And like Hugh, I think sometimes it's just the straw that breaks the camel's back for me. It's when I have to take phone calls back here and people just can't... They're so close to understanding the point, but they just can't get there.
Oh, boy. Well, that's all right.
I mean, Hugh, I get beaten down, man.
Hugh had Rattler in his top 10 quarterbacks this week. All right, let's go to Dom in Virginia. What's up, Dom?
Dom.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Hey, Dom, what's up?
Hey, I'm down here in Virginia. Grew up in Westchester, so go Birds. Love the Birds.
Go Birds.
I got my own reckless speculation on this.
Love it.
We love it. We love reckless speculation.
Right? I was thinking maybe it's not so much that they didn't trust Jalen until they had to. That maybe Nick didn't trust KP until he had to. He finally got down by 19 and said, all right, Kevin, do your thing, baby. Let it rip.
You know, that's an interesting perspective. That maybe like they're instead of them babying the quarterback, that really it's kind of them babying the coordinator.
It's not the first time we've heard that, by the way.
No, that's it's got some. It's interesting to me.
Yeah,
because my buddy Andy earlier this week say that Sirianni took the straight jacket off Kevin Betulo.
Right. Because, Dom, of all of the people involved in this equation, the least experienced one doing what he's doing is obviously Petullo. So I get it.
Right, and I was thinking maybe that Jalen and AJ and all them, they're not. We think they're talking to Petullo, but maybe they're talking to Sirianni. Like, hey, let us go, man. You got to let the whole offense go.
It could be. Dom, it's a good phone call, man. We appreciate listening. And how about now? Now the callers bring in their reckless speculation. Now we've created
something.
I'm okay
with that.
No, it's good.
Yeah, that's
good. It's good when they do it. When you do it, there's repercussions.
Yeah, because then people start calling my phone, talking about
you're supposed to be a role model.
An adult. No,
definitely not that. The adult, questionable. That's questionable.
You know, I thought his perspective was interesting. And also, we never bring up Sirianni. But Sirianni has found a way, by being a CEO, to absolve himself from all of this kind of stuff, right? Because he doesn't call the plays. So it's like he's not involved in anything besides the overall wins and losses he gets credit for and the resiliency they have and all the stuff, the culture, which is he's really good at.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's it. Maybe Sirianni is the one that wants to be conservative or not. And Petullo is just following that kind of plan. And then he told him, like, hey, we got to let him throw the ball.
And you know what else it is, too? I think part of it is because we as Eagles fans, we haven't had the luxury in the last, what, 3 or 4 years of having a consistent offensive coordinator.
Yes.
To actually judge how the evolution of this offense. You know what I mean? Because it feels like every year it's been a reset. Every year. And we always recklessly speculate about who's doing what or what's Jalen doing or why is he doing this or whatever. It hasn't been consistent enough.
And unless we find our offensive Vic Fangio, like an older guy.
Yeah, who ain't going nowhere.
It's never going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if these guys are any good, they leave. And if they're not any good, we fire them. That's been the pattern.
There's one, I think, major issue with the theory, though.
Okay.
If Sirianni doesn't.
Trust Petullo.
Sirianni's the one that put him in this position.
Well, this is back to Hughes' thing the other day. If they really stripped him of play calling 2.5 games in, we got a bigger problem. Well, on our hands.
Right. And I mean, this guy was the pass game coordinator last year. He's Sirianni's right hand man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I find it weird that he wouldn't trust him.
You would think he should trust him. He's his handpicked guy. And it seemed like this time remember last year they kind of picked Kellen Moore for him and said he runs the offense. It felt like after the Super Bowl, they were like, all right, Nick, you won the Super Bowl. You get to go with your guy. Let's make it work this time.
And they were greasing the skids early in the year.
Yes.
Remember, they were talking about Petullo and what he was and all this other stuff because they kind of knew that Coach Goober was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they were trying to set it up for him to get the job, and now he has the job. So, yeah, but I think part of the reasons why we feel the way that we feel, probably twofold, is because of what happened with Brian Johnson and how that didn't work out. And then – the fact that Petullo was in the system for a while and it still feels like it's not as fluid as we thought it would be. So that's it.
All right, we got one more from A.J. Brown yesterday. This one about the offense and the adjustments they made and, man, why it took so long.
Now that it is public that that's how you want this offense to be run, what do those conversations look like with the coaching staff going forward then?
See, that's where I kind of messed up at because, you know, those are my feelings, and I express that to the world. So, but obviously, if that doesn't go that way, obviously everyone's going to say, AJ's not happy. But obviously, the goal is to win the game, and obviously we want to do that first. But like I was just saying, like, I think it just kind of took too long for us as an offense to adjust and be more aggressive, you know. When one thing's not working, I was just saying, like, let's not continue to keep trying to hit our head on the wall and see if it's going to work. And let's mix it up and do what we need to do. So that's what I meant by that. And so, yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, AJ gets accused at times of like stirring things up. Sometimes you listen to him, doesn't it feel like he's talking the most logically out of anyone?
Yeah.
Like, I know he wants the ball. It comes from, people confuse it for selfishness, I think. But
yeah, like, it comes from a good place.
What he said there makes sense, right? It kind of took us too long to adjust. Why are we keep banging our head against the wall? If it doesn't work, we got other ways of moving the football. He's right. He's kind of been right the whole time.
Yeah, and I think that's what people, when they, like, sometimes I feel like you get penalized for being as passionate as you are.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a lot of people like to say that he's a cancer, a wild card or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think he's a cancer.
No, but he's just a passionate player. He wants to be successful. And I think part of that, his frustration came from the fact that he wasn't involved in offense the first couple of games.
And to be fair to him, like, if they were scoring 40 and he wasn't involved, I don't, no one wants to hear it, right? Mm-hmm. But they weren't scoring much.
Mm-mm. And you know what this team had, the players that this team has, this shouldn't be as close. This shouldn't be a slog, I should say.
That's exactly it.
It shouldn't be a slog. There should be more creativity in this offense when you talk about it. You look at the Detroit Lions and the creative ways they get the ball to their playmakers.
And they have a new coordinator.
Man, it's we see that. See, part of this, I feel, is, you know, us looking at other people's graphs.
Yes.
Especially now since we've won the Super Bowl. We're the standard. This year, we're the standard. And you see other offenses getting off to these high power starts. You're like, well, damn it, man. Why can't we do that? Why aren't we running those creative reverses and double passes and things of that nature to get the ball to our playmakers, keeping defenses off their on their toes and things of that? It just doesn't feel right to us. But we're 3-0.
That's true.
That we're 3-0.
And going to Tampa to try to go 4-0 on Sunday against the Buccaneers. All right, Henry's in Middletown. Hey, Henry.
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas?
What's up, Henry?
Hey, Henry.
Well, you know, since I've been listening, a lot of the guys that came on and made the same point that I was going to talk about, that it wasn't about them not trusting Jalen. That when I had mentioned the coaches, what's his name, Dom or something, he was saying, like, Sirianni might have talked to the offensive coordinator, let's kick this in gear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was thinking. You know, he was kind of being a little holding the boys back by not being aggressive. That's why the players, like you were saying, AJ, Jalen, they kind of spoke up. We need to pick it up. And it wasn't about them not trusting Jalen. I think it was about them trying to get the offensive coordinator online with, let's get aggressive. Let's move the ball around. We got more options than trying to just run the ball and playing conservative. So, but a lot of the guys that came on, I was hearing them, and that was basically the same thing that I was saying.
Yeah,
so,
and it's a fair question, Henry. It's a fair way to look at it. And Henry, good phone call. I guess I would then ask, like, let's play it out that way. Let's say a lot of the people that called the last half hour or so and said, nah, maybe it's more Petullo. He's kind of gun shy, so he's going conservative. Why is he gun shy?
Yeah, he ain't out there playing.
Right. I mean, does he not trust himself, or does he not trust his quarterback not to mess up the plays he's rolling in there?
I would assume that's because he doesn't want to mess it up. He wants to make a good impression. I'm just recklessly speculating. You know, you get tight, and then you have to. I think you got to get comfortable with the role that you're in now because it's different. I think you there's a certain template you follow, and not only that. You're probably looking at it like, okay, this team just won the Super Bowl. We got to get back to the Super Bowl. That's kind of on me, but I don't want to go real crazy, reckless with it. So I'm gonna play it a little safe. You know, Saquon's the safe bet.
Yep.
So maybe that's it, and maybe Jalen was telling him, "Hey, man, you know it's cool. Let it go." You know, maybe he was saying, "Swing for the fences."
That sounds a whole lot more calm than the slap across the lips that
happened in the locker room.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, this happened on the bench. This was on the bench.
Yeah, that was on. I'm talking about the bench.
Yeah, they cleaned that up on the bench.
Yeah.
Because they can't be slapping each other on the bench.
Nah, you can't let people see that.
By the way, we were discussing on our last break, the NFC East is being featured on the Amazon in-season Hard Knocks. I believe that comes out around November. So, you know, Hugh, that could be a big moment for you because we will get the on-the-bench, behind-the-scenes of what happened when the offense woke up in week three. Most likely it was... Hey, they're down. Let's just score.
Yeah, wait. So, what's going to be your next? Let's play this out.
Okay.
They show in the documentary that Kevin Petullo is calling plays on the sideline.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Then, what's your next excuse?
What do you mean?
You heard exactly what I said.
No, Jalen. If Jalen changed the play, you won't get the real gist of it unless you get the Kevin Petullo call to play, and then you say. Something happens where Jalen say, bump that. Running this.
Yeah, right.
Well, so hold on. But that's not really like what you said, though.
That's kind of what I said.
You said Jalen Hurts took over play calling.
He did.
That's not. That's
kind of what I said.
That implies Kevin Petullo had to give the headset away and go sit in the crowd.
No, he definitely didn't do that. That's a bad look. You see, because right now we're playing.
Okay, optics. So we got you to backtrack.
No, not really. We're playing optical.
I think that's a win for us,
optical illusion.
Optical illusion.
His whole take is an optical illusion.
No, I'm saying you got to. You know what I'm saying?
You're pulling the wool over our eyes, Douglas. Nah.
I think this is a good spin. I think this is a good take on this.
Okay,
I think this is magician here. We need to get you a top hat for this one. Yeah, I can't wait. The show's going to be great. We're going to get a lot of stuff.
Houdini.
I like that. That's going to stick.
That could be your Halloween costume this year.
Yeah,
Houdini. Yeah, that one might stick. All right, 215.
Magic man.
592-9494. We'll check in with you people after the break, see what they have to say. I wonder if they are agreeing that the coaching staff doesn't really trust Jalen Hurts. And we'll get back to your phone call as well. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.